You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
We're coming around a topic or a subject called healing this morning, and I just really want to say before I start that, you know, this is a subject. You know, this is a topic, healing, where it means something so different to everybody in the room. And I really approach this message with great sensitivity to your experiences, to your lives and your perceptions as well, and what healing means to you at this time. So know that not only am I speaking about this morning and I'm a pastor, but I'm also a mother. You know, we are a family who is believing for healing in our own family. And many setbacks and many losses happening, grief comes as well, but also, but God, He comes with His healing power and He transforms. So let's just come into His word today. Father, I just pray for every single person here. No matter what your story is, it is so relevant this morning. And Holy Spirit, as we come around your word, you want to speak revelation to people's spirits that have been made open wide to you to receive by faith everything that you want to say to them. Holy Spirit, I know that you're taking our church. I know that you're taking us as individuals on a journey to understand healing in a greater way. So Holy Spirit, we respond to you this morning. We're going where you're leading us. We're following where you're taking us, and we're going to receive all the wisdom and the knowledge that you impart into our spirits this morning. We honor that you are a healing God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. According to His will. This morning, according to His will, God heals. And so in Acts 28, which you know is my favorite subject at the moment, this is Paul when they've arrived on Malta. And it says, Acts 28, verse 28, according to His will, Paul was saying, we safely reached shore. All 276 of us, soldiers in there, prisoners in there, we learned that the island was called Malta. Now, in the region around that place were fields belonging to the chief official of the island, named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us hospitably as guests for 3 days. The father of Publius, he lay sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him after praying, placed his hands on him and healed him. Here is Paul. He's on the island of Malta. He's actually a prisoner. He's just been shipwrecked. He's landed safely on shore, what God said would happen. And now as a prisoner on the island of Malta, he's in the chief official's home where he is showing hospitality to him. But in this conversation with the chief, he says, actually, Paul, at the moment, my father is sick with fever and dysentery. What can you do for my father? And you see Paul in this moment. He sees his father suffering, and Paul went in to see him, and after praying, placed his hands upon him, and he was healed. Healed of his fever, healed of his dysentery and his suffering. And after this happened, which is completely amazing to me, after this healing, it says many of the people of the island who were sick also came and were healed. Do you know that Malta is the quarter size of Geelong? It's quarter of the size of Geelong. And like Paul, like Jesus, like us, according to His will, He still heals today. In Hebrews 13, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. How many of you believe this morning? If I was to ask you, how many of you believe that our God has the power to touch a sick body and make it well, how many of you would believe in that statement this morning? I pray today that God's desire for healing will be your very desire. You know, on Friday, just at work here, I asked the girls, I said, have you seen a healing before? Have you been in that moment where you've seen a tangible healing? And they said, oh, no, we haven't seen a healing. And I said, well, we're going to have to remedy that. Because I believe that every single Christian needs to experience the healing, tangible touch of God healing his people. And when you see that, it's not like it's God on a pages that I'm reading about. It's God that I'm seeing and experiencing for myself. He is alive. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Do you believe that, church, this morning? So what is healing? Healing is the power that comes from God to cure suffering. Amen? Healing is God's promise to you and I that if we ask anything according to his will, he will do. And in Jesus, we saw instantaneous healings of the two blind men in the Bible who called out to him, Jesus, Lord, let our eyes be open. And we read that in that scripture, Jesus, in great compassion, touched their blind eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. There were many progressive healings as well, like the blind man at Bethsaida, where progressively he got healed. You know, Jesus touched his eyes, and at the halfway point, he says to the blind man, is there anything that you can see? And the blind man said, I can sort of see, but everything is still blurry. Halfway, things were blurry, but as he stayed in the conversation with Jesus, his sight cleared perfectly, where he could not only see what was in front of him, but was at a distance. God wants to bring sight to your eyes, not only what is in front of you, but prophetically with clarity, what is at a distance. But there were times where God didn't heal. Like Paul. He had a thorn in his side, and even though he prayed earnestly, it wasn't removed. What was God's word to him? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you according to my will, Paul. My grace, my power, my ability, my might is sufficient for you at this time. You know, according to his will is one of the greatest journeys we will go on with him. And Jesus understood God's will, that through prayer, through listening, through faith, he believed God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can believe this morning, Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in John 9, it says this, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. We must quickly carry out the tasks that are assigned to each and every one of us in the body of the church who sent us. Jesus was moved by compassion and his words, we must work the works of him who sent me. In other words, healing is what God wants done in the world, and it is our responsibility as the church to see his will carried out in the city of Geelong. Jesus spent so much time training his followers to go out and continue what he had begun. And this is awesome. When we hear and we read about the healings and the miracles from the Word of God in the Bible, until Jesus wants to start training you personally. And I remember the first time Jesus asked me to pray for someone, and I knew my training and my assignment had started. As I was praying that afternoon as a young adult running a young adult connect group, I heard God say to me, I want you to pray for the girl with the bad arm. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, a girl with a bad arm, okay, well, she's obviously sprained it or just bruised it. And okay, heal the girl with the bad arm. Anyway, that night we came into Connect Group and here walks in the girl with the bad arm. Her arm is from up here to the end of her shoulder, filled with plasters and pins. And I'm thinking, Lord, that is not just a bad arm. No way, I'm not doing that. Have you ever had those moments where Jesus wants to train you and you're stepping back going, no, that situation, that arm with the pins and the plaster, that's moved beyond a bad arm. Now, this is something completely out of my depth. But how many of us know it's not out of the depth of Jesus and his healing power? And so we all stood around her and we prayed for her and we believed, and I obeyed the instruction of my Father. And so as time went by, I remember writing to her a couple of years ago, and these were her words from the miracle that happened that night. She said, I remember that night and how I felt amazing. I felt the warmth go up my arm and it felt so good. I broke my hand, and yes, I had two pins put in before I came to Connect Group that night. I couldn't move my fingers, but after all of you prayed for me, I could move my fingers and I felt that God had his hand on my hand. I did feel his presence, and the next day the cast came off and she was completely healed. When God takes you on assignment and he wants to train you, it's not based on your power. It's not based on your might. It's based upon his word and who he is. And God is a God of healing today. You know, my story is a journey of learning. But it's a journey that I'm still on, and I'm still learning as the Holy Spirit leads me. I believe that he can heal, but I believe that it's according to his will. In John 14, he says to us, I tell you the solemn truth. The person who believes in me will perform the miraculous deeds that I am doing and will perform greater deeds than these because I am going to the Father. It's our turn now as the church, Gateway. You know, Malta, according to his will, you'll perform those miraculous deeds that Jesus and so many others have done. Malta was a miracle. It's the quarter of the size of Geelong. And Paul was told that Publius' father was sick. And with that information, he took the opportunity to pray. And because of that one prayer, every sick person in Malta came and was completely healed by God through Paul obeying. My desire is that prayer becomes our first response to sickness. Can I say that again and declare that into your spirits? My desire that as the church, prayer is our first response to sickness. To be healed means the Greek word lamai, but it means to cure. It means to heal. It means to doctor you, to make you whole. When there is sickness, you can be weak without strength. It deprives someone of enjoying or accomplishing what they like to do. It incurs loss. But God's power, church, God's power, my friends, has the power to cure, to heal, and to make you whole physically, spiritually, and emotionally. A healing power instantaneously or progressively that reverses a condition. And Luke talks about this in Luke 6. And the healing of a withered hand. On another Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. Now a man was there whose right hand was withered. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, get up and stand here. In this moment, he's asking the man who was sick with the withered hand, come into the conversation with me. Step into this healing power with me. Move with me. Stand here. So he rose and stood there. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man did so, and his hand was completely restored. You know, God wants you to put your faith, your belief, your trust, your reliance in a God when he asks you to come, that you can trust him to receive what it is that he's going to make whole in your life. Because of one man stepping out and laying hands on the sick, Malta was transformed. Geelong, because of one person, can be transformed. You are the church. You are God's body. You are God's people. You carry the Spirit of God within you. Healing means therapeo, which means therapy. A healing touch that requires corresponding actions. God releases his healing power, but Jesus working with the man with the withered hand requires our corresponding actions. Stretch out your hand, he said to him, and he did so. And as he worked with Jesus, his hand was restored. Luke talks about the healings at Malta and the types of healings that they were through reference to Scripture. And I believe God is speaking to us through those healings at Malta with these specific scriptures that Luke is talking to us about. God wants many to receive healing, but he wants you. Do you hear me this morning? He wants you, his disciples, his followers that he can train and release to see God's healing power come to those you know, your families, your friends, the acquaintance that you know and you don't know. Just like Paul, when you hear someone is sick, whether you know them or not, whether they're saved or unsaved, let our first response as God's church be to pray, to believe, and to see God's healing power come. And if you want to know how to do this, you know, it was funny, Arzy, as you just come up here. On Friday, she actually mentioned to me that her hip is still sore, and her hip on is it on your left-hand side or on your right-hand side? And it's been really causing her unrest at night. She hasn't been able to sleep properly. And so I want us at the moment, I want you to stand as the church with me. We're going to do what the Bible is encouraging us to do. Right now, this is a training moment for every single one of us. I want you to stretch out your hands. I want you to place your hand on your right-hand side. And we're going to believe together today that that pain will cease. Father God, as your church, you're requiring us to take responsibility for the sick, for those who are suffering, for those who are in pain. And Father, we just declare your healing power. Let our first response be as the church to pray. We just declare healing. We declare restoration. You came to bring therapy. You came to cure the suffering. And God, we just pray no more sleepless nights, no more pain in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't that amazing where we can have these moments? This is the church being the church. And it's as simple as that. Can I pray for you? Let's come together and pray. Amen. You know, the faith that is shared with the person wanting to draw on healing is the faith of the church. It is not the faith of the one who is sick, though as we have seen, he needs to have faith enough to call. Again, it is not just the faith of the pastors. I'm just going to say that one more time. Again, it is not just the faith of the pastors. They are only one part of the church. It is the faith of you, the church, and the pastors, for together we are God's church. We must know the promise of God is to heal. The person who is sick must have faith to come and ask, and the faith of the church must be added to their faith that they may receive the healing that they need according to his will. According to his will, God wants to grow your faith to believe and pray first for the sick in Geelong. So what has Luke seen through the healings in Malta that we can expect? Through these passages of Scripture, how is the Lord speaking to our lives and our city? And there are four specific types of healings according to his will by faith as we, the church, cooperate with him. I believe this year God will manifest and God will do. The number one, he is the healer of afflictions. God is your healer of your afflictions. It says in Luke 9, now on the next day when they had come down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. Then a man from the crowd cried out, teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child. A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions. It hardly ever leaves him alone, torturing him severely. And Jesus says to this father, Father, bring your son here. And as the boy was approaching, the demon threw him to the ground and shook him again with convulsions. But Jesus, knowing the will of his father, rebuked that unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave his son back in his right mind to his father. Then they were all astonished by the power of God. This was healing of a boy who was afflicted. Affliction is suffering that causes bodily pain or mental distress, distressed by oppressors. It was his father out of a lounge crowd who cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, I beg you to look at my son. He's my only child." A spirit seizes him. There's convulsion. It hardly ever leaves him alone. And Jesus, as you know, "Bring your son here." And he completely heals him and gives him back to his father. I pray that Jesus takes you on a journey where he is the first cry of your heart, from a crowd that took courage to declare you don't know what to do, but you're calling to the one who does know what to do. And as the boy was healed, they were all astonished at the mighty power of God. God wants you to be astonished at the mighty power of God. Not only is he the healer of your afflictions, but God is, number two, the seer of the lost. In Luke 10, you have a powerful scripture and story. It says, Luke says, Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the injured men, he passed him by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came up to the place and saw him, he too passed this man on the side of the road and went the other way. But a Samaritan who was traveling came to where the injured man was. And when he saw him, he felt compassion for him. He went up to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring olive oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him into an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever else you spend, I will repay to you when I come back this way.' Which of these three do you think became a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in religious law said, "The one who showed mercy to him." So Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." For whatever reason, even the wrong choices that have been made, like this man traveling down that dangerous road by himself, is not something that you did. Know that God, even with wrong choices, my friends, know that a loving God will send someone into your life whose love for God has a deep understanding for loving his neighbor. And it is that practical help that is coming to progressively heal you back to health. This is what he wants to do for your families. This is what he wants to do in the city of Geelong. And I saw this incredible story, and it speaks of Bill Wilson, who has one of the largest Sunday schools in America, even the world. And the story starts off when he was 12 years of age, and his mother said to him while in the car, "I just need to go and do something, so I'm just going to leave you here by the side of the road. Just stay there. Wait, I'm coming back for you." And so as he got out of the car, he sat by the side of the road, and a couple of hours passed, which actually turned into 3 days sitting by the side of the road by himself as a 12-year-old young boy. Many cars went past him. Many people walked past him, but nobody stopped. They just kept on going. They just kept on walking. But 3 days later, there was this man who was on the way to hospital because his own son was dying of leukemia. But in that moment, he felt to stop. That little impression, those words, "Just stop." And he saw this lost little boy on the side of the road, and he went up to him and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Son, are you okay?" And the little boy said, "No, I'm actually hungry." And so you saw this man give him some food and give him some water. And then he started to make calls to make sure that he was okay and he had somewhere to stay and somebody to look after him. You know, that young 12-year-old boy who was left by the side of the road is now leading one of the greatest Sunday morning school for children congregations in the whole world. And he stops for every single child. Just because one man stopped for him and told him about Jesus, one man pointed the way to a church, one man led his heart that was lost to a God who loves, this is the power of the church. This is the power for Geelong. God is a seer of the lost. And what is God's word to us? Go and do the same. So you become a seer of the lost. Number three, life alignment in Luke 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten herself up completely. And when Jesus saw her, he called to him and said, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." Then he placed his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. If you have been suffering, people that you know disabled physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and can't straighten up in specific areas of your life like you desire, know that God, through his healing power, can and will heal you. God's healing power wants to cure you and restore you to health. And those around you will rejoice at the glorious healing work that Jesus does upon your life. And lastly, freedom for all. You know, Paul and Silas were on the way to pray and were met by a slave girl that through their words of authority and prayer, she was completely set free. But her owners weren't happy, and freedom meant a great loss in profit from her as a slave, as a fortune teller. It says in Acts 16, "But when her owners saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And after they had beaten them severely, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to guard them securely." It says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the rest of the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly a great earthquake occurred so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors flew open and the bonds of all the prisoners came loose. You know, this may be a journey for many of us here as Christians today, a journey where you feel beaten down, accusations just for doing the good works of the Lord. But by faith, praying and singing hymns in the midst of our adversity and accusation, foundations that are holding us shall be shaken. Prison doors will be open, and as a result of our faith in God, prisoners around us shall be loosed by our hymns, by our declarations of praise. You know, why? Because your faith in God, the decision you make to lose my life is to find his life. You know, accusations are going to come. Injustice is going to happen when you're doing the good works of the Lord. But let me tell you, don't ever place yourself in the circle of injustice, because he is the God of justice. Let him be the God of justice. You keep singing the prayers. You keep singing the hymns and declaring. I'm getting there. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ." That's why I don't give in to accusations. That's why I don't step into the circle of injustice. "I have been crucified with Christ. It's not I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself up for me." What happens when you choose his will? My friends today, what happens when you choose his will? It says this in Acts 16:30. "Then he brought them outside and asked, 'Sir, what must I do to be saved?'" What must I do to be saved? You're different. Your singing is different. Your words are different. What must I do? You've seen you in adversity. What must I do to be saved? According to his will, you shall be saved. In these five passages of Scripture, Luke describes the healings at Malta through the passages of Scripture of what took place in the lives of the people. They saw instantaneous healings and progressive healings. Remember the first time I saw an instantaneous healing, and I was probably about 21 years of age in India, and we went out to these villages that were remote where some of them hadn't even seen white people before. And I remember this man coming up to me, and he was old, in his 70s, and grabbing my hand and getting me to put it on his head, indicating to me, "Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me." This man was blind. I didn't know what I was doing, but when he said, pray for me, I knew I could do that. So I stretched out my hand and I prayed for him and I said, in the name of Jesus, because it's not my might, it's not my power, it's not my strength, it is according to his will that he releases healing power into the life and I get to witness and be a part of the miracle working power of God. And in that moment, I saw his white eyes turn to blue eyes and he was completely healed in Jesus' name. Instantaneous healings where God shows up. But there's times where God does healings progressively that over time you get better. I'm just so glad that God heals today. Luke 17 says, Jesus responded, if you have even the smallest measure of authentic faith, it would be powerful enough to say to this large tree, my faith will pull you up by the roots and throw you into the sea, and it will respond to your faith and obey you. You know, the great thing today is that we have faith and we can grow our faith. Our faith moves the heart of God. In Romans 12:3, God says, I have distributed to each and every one of you a measure of faith. Today, church, you all have a measure of faith. Whether small, whether large, God is going to use what you have right now. But when God doesn't heal, my friends, when God doesn't heal, I've seen blind eyes open, but I can't see my own son healed. How does that work, God? When there's disease in my family, I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen casts come off of broken arms. But God, just like Paul, I'm crying out to you, heal my family. What do we do when he doesn't heal? And how do we deal with this? What do we do with a God who can, who doesn't always do it? And at the same time, how do we let our faith can grow to continue to ask him for more miracles of healing? You know, God loves you enough to work on the faith that you have. Our God heals, but he doesn't heal in the way we always want him to or expect him to. Our God heals according to his will. So why didn't he? Jesus never performed a miracle that interfered with God's ultimate plan. Can you hear this part this morning? Jesus never performed a miracle that interfered with God's ultimate plan and will. And we see this in the story where Judas betrays Jesus, brings him over, hands him over to the Roman soldiers. And in this moment, because of what Judas has done, he's betrayed Jesus. Peter rises up on behalf of Jesus, rises up in the injustice, gets mad, takes out his sword and cuts off the Roman soldier's ears. Oh, Peter. Thanks for trying. Matthew 26 says this, don't you realize, Peter? I can see what you're trying to do, but don't you realize that I could ask my heavenly Father for the angels to come at any time to deliver me? And instantly he would answer me by sending 12 armies of the angelic host to come and protect us. But that would thwart the prophetic plan of God. Peter, that would get in the way of the will of God. The will of God is greater than your injustice. The will of God is greater than what your desire is and what you're hoping for in this moment. I can't meet all your expectations because I have to meet the will of the Father, of the one who sent me, according to his will. I don't understand, God, according to his will. I don't understand what you're doing, God, according to his will. In 1 minute, we see Jesus perform a miracle, pick up the ear, attach it to the Roman soldier's face, and he was completely healed. In 1 minute, a miracle, and in the next minute, withholds a miracle because of the will of God, even when the disciples don't understand. And I finish with this. When I was in India just over a year ago, I was in this place where this little boy with a twisted neck came up to me. It was twisted around. He'd be about 10 years of age. And I had so much faith. I had so much belief in that moment. And as I prayed for him, I was fully expecting to see his head turn around and this little boy who was so emotionally, physically distressed by this, to see him healed. And I prayed and I reached out my hand and I believed with everything that was in me, but it didn't go according to my will. So what is it that what God was doing when it didn't meet what I wanted to happen? It was healing according to His will. I didn't see a healing in the physical, but I saw a healing in His emotions. And He was completely set free. Sometimes we don't always know what God is doing, but it's according to His will. And I finish with this statement. Can you stand with me this morning? Church, this morning, our faith isn't based on what God does. Our faith is based on who God is. This morning, can I minister to your hearts? Our faith is not based on what God does. Our faith, our trust, our reliance, our adherence, our trust is based on who God is. And God is good. God is good.